minutes after 11 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in. You know how heartbreaking it must be for a family that is, trying to do their best with everything, and then suddenly they realize that their 14, 15, 16-year-old girl is, or boy, I'm not trying to be sexist here, but their child is all of a sudden different, and then they suspect, well, maybe he or she has found alcohol or drugs or something like that, or maybe I'm in a different age group, and maybe it's the father. Maybe the father is suddenly, or maybe it's been all of his life he's had some kind of abuse, or maybe there's some kind of a residual effect from when he or she was serving, maybe in Afghanistan or Iraq, and they've got some post-traumatic stress disorder that's never actually been diagnosed. We have discovered in the last few visits with folks from the refuge, the wonderful things that they can do to help those people recover. And that's why this program is called Recovery Talk. Today, we are speaking to Dr. Douglas Davies. He is the medical director of the refuge. And I'm guessing that anything and everything that I've ever wondered about, he has seen that and then some. The important part of this show is your questions, because your questions are often very serious during this segment, and some of you have called after the show, and that's wonderful too, because in some cases, I guess it's embarrassing. You're not so sure that you want your voice on the air with a very personal question. The best thing I can tell you is don't call us. I mean, the best thing we can do if you do call us is to give you the Refuge phone number. The Refuge's phone number, and we'll tell you that many times during the course of the show. Dr. Douglas Davies, good morning, Doctor.
Morning. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming in. So you're the medical. So you oversee everything medical over at the Refuge, huh?
Yeah. I had the good fortune to train or retrain in addiction medicine. I had a previous career as an anesthesiologist on an open heart team, actually.
Is that right?
Developed my own addiction. Had the good fortune to go off and get some excellent treatment. The Refuge didn't exist at that time, and even if it did exist, it's not really set up for dealing with professionals. So I went to a program in Atlanta called the Talbot Recovery Campus, got some superb treatment there, started on a path of recovery of my own, and then went back and retrained in addiction medicine at the University of Florida with Dr. Mark Gold, and have been working as medical director of one facility or another since about 2000.
You know, that is scary and a real thing, isn't it? That in the medical profession, a lot of professionals with easy access to the medicines, and you're so smart, you know better, but you still do it, right?
Yeah, because addiction has nothing to do with being smart, really. And it turns out doctors are people, so we really have about the same addiction rates. We get addicted to some slightly different things because of the access that we have that you mentioned. There are some things we specifically tend not to get addicted to. Maybe that's where a little of the smartness comes in. You virtually never see smoking doctors. Doctors tend not to get addicted to tobacco, which is the deadliest of all addictions.
Yeah,
I mean, it
yeah.
kills more than all the other drugs put together, plus car wrecks, plus crashes, you name it. Tobacco is the absolute worst, but physicians, because of access to opioids, particularly anesthesiologists, it's sort of an occupational hazard, so you see a lot more of that among physicians.
In the one thing that separates the Refuge from a lot of medical facilities is that you've got psychological parallel to physical. You've got to deal with both, right?
Well, we do, but you know what? Every other physician does also. If I was doing if I was doing family practice, probably fully 50-60%, maybe more of the issues I would be dealing with would have some extremely important psychological, emotional, spiritual overlay, if not driving the condition in the first place. I think that's a shift that we're starting to to realize. Yeah, so that part's not that radically different. Everything in life is mind, body, and spirit.
That's a good point. Is it fair to say then that the psychological part of a guy with a heart attack was caused by the heart attack, whereas the physical problem with a drug abuser was caused by the psychological?
Well, it's certainly, I tend to look at it as a perfect storm of things that comes together.
Uh-huh.
So on the physical part, yeah, there's some real physical pieces, like you have to look back your genetics. Do you have a predisposition to loading your arteries, specifically your coronary arteries, with cholesterol? And then look at what's your diet. Have you mostly had a plant-based diet, which is the healthiest way to eat, or has there been a lot of animal products and fats and such in there?
Right.
So that's the physical piece. Then you swing over and you look at the emotional piece. Is this a guy who's stuffed his feelings? and his real desires, or maybe hidden some abuses in his own childhood, his whole life, and now he's sitting here clutching his heart on a gurney in an emergency room. You know, that's
very
a piece
smart.
Of it too. And then a great deal of just how, you know, connected you are to things spiritual. That's a tremendous either protective device against pain and misery and stress, or it's an Achilles heel.
Do you perform one-on-one with all of the employees that the refuge hires to give them evaluations to make sure that they're fit enough for the jobs that they do individually?
The interesting thing about the employees at the refuge is some of the strongest, most valuable employees we have are the ones who have dealt with their own addiction.
It makes sense.
Because
if they're on a
path of recovery, they know so much more, have so much more intuitive feel for taking care of people who are not as far along the road and have their hearts wide open and their minds wide open, tend to not judge and just to listen and to love our clients.
You know, you're really bringing up some really interesting points. And I've often thought that we are arrogant when we look down our noses at somebody with a chemical addiction when we ourselves might have a food addiction. Would the refuge be a good place, for example, somebody with a food addiction? Somebody doesn't even recognize that as an addiction, but could you actually help that person? I mean, you'd have to get them to cross that line into first admitting it. But then would that be a good place to go for example, to overcome that addiction?
Yeah, I mean, you started with an interesting point about shame keeping people from getting help, or shame keeping people in denial around having the problem in the first place. And the deal with denial is that you're even lying to yourself. And I don't mean that in any kind of, pejorative way. It's that you don't have the insight to see the whole picture and what's going on and what things in your life are holding you back, and maybe, you know, what role your diet's playing, or what role your chemical use is playing. As I mentioned, getting back to tobacco for just a moment, Ocala has one of the highest tobacco addiction rates, which is to say tobacco use rate.
Is that right?
Virtually everybody that's using the drug is pretty profoundly addicted to it in the country. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all kinds of denial there. Now, is the refuge a good place to work on a broad range of issues? It is, in the sense that the beauty of the refuge is they don't stay on the surface and just give you tips and tricks for, you know, how to drink less, or how not to drink, or how not to, you know, eat the wrong foods, or how not to use narcotics. They go way deeper down to the core issues. So for an awful lot of people, if they're willing to have the courage to walk into and take a good look at the things that have been holding them back, the refuge is potentially a great place to get treatment.
The refuge is in Ocklawaha, and I have not been there, but it just, Ocklawaha is such a beautiful place. I often wondered if the setting actually contributes to the recovery.
Yeah, it's certainly a very peaceful place. You know, there's certainly a lot of drama and angst that can go on in the issues that we deal with, but the setting itself, yeah, I mean, a river runs through it, as they say.
Yeah.
And I believe it is very sacred, holy grounds. I mean, there's a lot of legends about the initial inhabitants of the area. There's a massive magnolia tree that occasionally we'll go out to and do some drumming and chanting and smudges, and they say that was very heavily populated, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years.
Is that right? And I love the fact that you are using what might be considered ancient techniques.
Well, yeah, it would make sense, because I think it kind of parallels the fact that we're born knowing a lot of things, and we sort of forget things. We're somehow, you know, closer to God when we're first born, and then we kind of lose and forget and get caught up in the material world and things as it goes along. So, yeah, to get back to some of the original ways, to some of the ancient ways, and to honor that, I think there's deep wisdom in that.
I love this conversation, and it's gone way different than I thought it would go. And
me too.
I love that. We need to take a little break. We've got a weather forecast here somewhere, and I've got to do that. So we'll take a little tiny 30-second break. We'll be back with Recovery Talk with Dr. Douglas Davies. And please remember, this is an opportunity for you to chat with Dr. Davies. The phone number is 622-9622. We'll be right back.
The weather is brought to you by MyFWC.com. Safe boating is no accident. For today, intervals of clouds and sunshine and a little bit less humid this afternoon, the high 91 to 95. Partly cloudy tonight with a shower or thunderstorm near the coast early tonight. Low 69 and a few inland spots, 76 on the beaches. For tomorrow, sunshine, some clouds. Watch out for a thunderstorm in the afternoon and evening, the high 90 to 94. And on Friday, partly sunny with an afternoon thunderstorm, high 88 to 92. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Joe Lundberg.
All right, that was the weather. 17 minutes now after 11 o'clock. Let's return to Dr. Douglas Davies. And remember, the phone line is open if you want to call 622-WOCA. And important thing also, if you want to share this interview with somebody you know and love and perhaps could benefit from the information, these interviews are recorded. They're all on the WOCA, what do you call it, the YouTube channel and the Facebook page. The YouTube channel is my recommendation because it's there on Facebook. Sometimes they disappear or they get buried or who knows how that works. But again, the number here right now, 622-WOCA, Dr. Douglas Davies from The Refuge, and you are the medical director of The Refuge. And real quickly, what is the number over there at The Refuge?
Same area code as Ocala, 352-288-3333 is the main number.
How do you help professionals that are addicted to prescription drugs that don't want help? We knew a lady who was a psych nurse, and she was very excellent in her field. She got addicted to that. She lost her license. We tried to get help for her, but it just seemed like she didn't want it.
Well, the good news for physicians and airline pilots, a couple of other professionals, we actually have extremely high recovery rates, not so much because we're really any different or any smarter or wiser or more spiritual. Perhaps in some way it's just because we have much larger egos. And the good news is when a professional gets discovered to have a problem, the Board of Medicine is a tremendous hammer and will step in right away. And in the olden days, it used to be as soon as you were discovered to have any sort of an issue, your license was snapped from the state of Florida, and I guess you might run off and practice somewhere else. But the good news nowadays is that there is a group called the PRN, the Professional Resource Network, that steps in and intercedes on behalf of the physician and simply asks or demands, dictates that the physician professional take care of themselves and do what they should do anyway for having this chronic, progressive, sometimes fatal disease. So all they do is mandate that you must stop practice immediately, you must go and get approved treatment somewhere, and then a good, strong follow-up program. Now, the average guy in the street doesn't have that hammer over him or her. So it's kind of easy for family members to unknowingly enable them to stay out there and stay sick and not actually come to grips with it as a chronic progressive brain disease that absolutely needs, you know, good medical treatment to get recovery started in many, many cases. Nurses have something like that also. I mean, there is a nursing group called the IPN. They're an awesome group of individuals that deeply care about nurses and sort of offer that same hammer. So, but if a nurse is willing to give up her license and thinks, well, this is a good strategy, a good way to get out of being in trouble, yet not do anything about his or her disease, then they give up their license, don't practice, and it sort of sounds like the scenario you were describing.
You know, when you mentioned tobacco as an addictive substance, we, the general population, you said, well, it's for sale, it's legal, you don't need a prescription for it, you know, but I think you're dead on with that. Are there other...
Right, and in some states, marijuana is, you can say the same thing, it's legal, you don't need a prescription
for it.
You know,
right.
The brain doesn't care. The brain completely, totally doesn't care about whether something's legal or not. I mean, look at alcohol. Alcohol is legal too, and for 85% or so of the people that consume alcohol, it's, you know, it's not a major problem unless you overshoot one night, you know, getting a DUI and hurt yourself or hurt somebody else, but for that small percentage of people that use alcohol, the brain doesn't care that it's completely legal. It's profoundly and totally addictive, and it will completely hijack everything meaningful and everything resourceful that that brain has or had to offer that individual. And tobacco is no different. Tobacco is the deadliest drug on the planet by far. Like I said, nothing comes close to taking people out, and it's no less addictive than heroin, cocaine, alcohol, any drug you want to stack it up against.
Your metaphor of the large hammer that is a deterrent to certain behaviors or using certain substances does apply to the non-medical professional, because if something is against the law, as marijuana is now in the state of Florida, as, you know, I don't know, all the illegal drugs, but whatever they are, those who don't want to be in trouble with the law will go for something more legal, and maybe that's why we don't consider it dangerous, which obviously I think everybody understands that it is dangerous, though.
Yeah, to a degree, people do. I mean, it's been since 1960, right, that the Surgeon General said we had to write on the side of each pack, these things are going to kill you, and then the very next pack you pick up says, and here's the five ways it's going to kill you, and still that doesn't stop us, because addiction has nothing to do with logic. Addiction hijacks and takes over the most primitive and the most powerful part of the brain, what people sometimes call the rat brain or the lizard brain, because it is the most primitive and powerful part of the brain. It's the part of the brain that keeps us alive and allows us to survive. It's about all the brain a cockroach has, but look at how good those things are at surviving. I've got these little German things in kitchen. I cannot get
rid of. I got an idea for you.
I want to hear about it. But the point is that if you have a brain that's wired for addiction, you've got that from birth. It's not your fault.
Wow.
Totally, completely not your fault, but totally, completely your responsibility to do something about it, take care of it, and lock it down. Just like if you had type 1 diabetes, that's the kind of diabetes that we don't get from being overweight. We just get it because it's in our genes that we're going to get dealt that, and our ancestors got it, and they didn't want it, but they handed it down. Addiction is the same way. Totally not your fault. You got type 1 diabetes, but unless you step up to the bar and say, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do to take care of this disease, I'm going to take some ownership here, you're going to get very, very sick. It's going to take you out.
There must be two issues you deal with then, the physical addiction to a substance and also the emotional self-esteem issue.
Absolutely, and that emotional self-esteem is usually the core driver that started everything. So, you know, if you're walking around telling yourself that you're less than somehow other people, that you're not okay, that something's wrong with you, and then all of a sudden you happen to discover that you put a little alcohol into your body or a little marijuana, or you take a drag off a cigarette or whatever, and all of a sudden you feel normal for the first time in your life, you feel like you fit in, you feel like you're okay, that negative inner critic quiets down for a little while, that's a huge shift point in your life, and you think, whoa, where have you been my whole life? This is how I always want to feel, and then you spend the rest of your life chasing that feeling. Now, you're not ever going to get it as strong or as good as that again, because the brain always wants to heal and reset. The Creator built that into our brains, into every organ in our body. It always wants to heal and reset, so it starts to take actions against whatever external drug we're putting in our body, and that's where the tolerance comes from. That's where the god-awful withdrawal syndrome comes from, when we stop taking the drug.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dead end and a cruel hoax behind virtually every addictive substance.
The negative inner demon that you referred to is deep-rooted. How many people have that negative inner demon because a teacher, a coach, a parent may have said, you're worthless, you're never going to amount to anything, when you were 2 and 3, and for some reason you believed it.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's kind of what PTSD is sort of all about. It's not so much necessarily exactly the event that happened. It's your response to it and the fact that that response keeps ringing on in waves throughout the rest of your life.
Dr. Douglas Davies is our guest. You have a phone call, but I'm quickly going to tell you how to take care of the roach problem. You ready?
Yeah.
Take grape jelly and boric acid.
Boric acid.
Have you heard this before?
I've heard boric acid. We'll try it again.
No. You got to use the grape jelly. I know. Because the boric acid by itself, they'll just say, well, I don't like that stuff.
Yeah, right.
But if you mix it with grape jelly until it's a paste, you have to put it as like it's 50-50 or something like that. Squirrel it around. Put a little dot of it the size of a chocolate chip on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then just kind of put it in a dark place. And then do another one. Put it in another dark place. Another one. Put another. The next morning, no roaches.
Gonna try it.
Amazing.
Thank you, doctor.
All right.
Roach doctor.
All right, the roach doctor. I'm sure you have a few of them over at the refuge. Good morning. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air with Dr. Davies.
Yes, doctor. To be accepted at your facility, do you need a free referral by a physician?
No, absolutely not. All you do is pick up the phone and you talk to one of the amazing people that work in our admissions department. You just pick up the phone and call 288-3333 and tell them you need to talk to somebody.
Can you get, like, prescriptions to your business?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, I mean, if let's say you're addicted to tobacco and you've got a certain kind of a medication, a prescription that would help, can you write that?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a regular old simple country doctor with a fully active medical license, so I can prescribe just about any and everything. In terms of just one thing that's worth understanding is that most of our services at the facility I work at are inpatient services. We don't have a robust outpatient program that involves medical. We do have a very robust outpatient treatment program at one of our facilities here in town that unfortunately at this point in time doesn't involve medical oversight and prescribing, but we do that absolutely for all of our residential patients at the facility in Ocklawaha.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. So would insurance cover tobacco cessation or
oh
any?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes?
But no? They should, right?
But they don't?
Because what's the vast majority probably of the money that insurance companies put out for? They're treating heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, cancers, lung cancer, pancreatic cancer, peripheral vascular disease. They spend millions and millions of dollars, but flip a coin when I call in a medication to help somebody stop smoking, whether they'll cover it or not. And unfortunately, in our culture right now, in our society and the way the businesses are set up, if I called an insurance company today and I was reporting that a patient had come to us strictly for treatment for their tobacco addiction, they'd hang up. They don't want to hear about it. And you know what happens when you go to get insurance? If you've ever in your life, anybody on planet Earth has gotten insurance through an American insurance company, every single one of them have wanted to know if you're a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to charge you a whole lot more
for
the policy you're a smoker.
Good
but
point.
That's the last time they want to hear about smoking.
That's a great point.
I mean, there should be, you know, thank the Lord that there are so many good places to treat, say, alcohol dependence in this country, but alcohol is going to kill maybe 100,000 people in the U.S. this year. Tobacco is going to kill like 440,000 people this year. Is there a single residential treatment, one treatment center in the U.S. that's set up primarily to deal with tobacco? No. And the treatment centers that we do have, we're so schizophrenic about it. So many treatment centers, you come there, they say, you can't drink alcohol here, you can't use heroin here, you can't use cocaine
here,
la, la, la. But if you want to smoke,
go ahead. Go outside.
If you got them, smoke.
Wow. That's a powerful statement you made about the extra question on the insurance.
Yeah, it just hit me one day when I was trying to call in and I kept working with our insurance department and they'd say, well, you know, there's not, you know, deep enough or serious enough addiction here. This person has terrible PTSD, but they only have insurance benefits that cover addiction. And I say, well, what about their tobacco addiction? They don't want to hear about it.
Oh, wow. Doctor, I've loved this conversation, and the time went too fast. We have to wrap it up. What is the phone number over at the Refuge?
352-288-3333.
Thank you, Dr. Douglas Davies. Nice to meet you. Come back.
Bless you for having me.
Don't be a stranger. We need to move forward, take a little break. We've got Fox News coming up after that. We've got Fun with Joe. Thank you so much, Doctor. We'll be right back.